start crying. I got the virus. It's just, I'm a very emotional person. I mean, we've had everything this morning. We've had the Lord's Supper. We've heard the Word of God, a great message on baptism. We've had the baptism. I mean, what more do you want? Let's go to heaven. Didn't hear any amens to that, but we are ready, aren't we? Yeah, well, pretty exciting morning. I don't know if I'll be able to have my siesta this afternoon. It's just so exciting. I always have my siesta, you know, when you get my age. Well, let's see what God has for us, because we're going to be looking in Acts chapter 16. So if you turn with me to Acts chapter 16, we're going to switch over to the PowerPoint. And there again, it looks like it's going to even come up better this time than last time. There we go. Play. Good. Looks good. Looks good. Okay. Well, as I said, we've had the Lord's Supper. That was awesome. We had a baptism. Now what? What left is there to do? Why are we here on the earth? I mean, what we talked about, Paul's calling, he was called to witness, to preach, to teach, to share the word of God. Now, I want to share with you, now that we've seen that we have all been called of God, not necessarily to stand on the street corner, not necessarily go to the hospital from bed to bed like I do, not anymore, but not to go to old folks' home to preach the word of God, but God has called all of us to witness. And it's very important. If you want to be a victorious Christian, you've got to witness. I always talk about the stagnant lakes in northern BC. Have you ever seen a stagnant lake? I don't know how you say that in other languages, but what it is you'll see a big pool of water. And you're driving along the highway and you look down and you see a big pool of water. And all around the pool, all around the water is white. Very, very, very little vegetation. There's no animals in there. It is stagnant. And a lot of times you're going to find that they can't kill a whale. Yeah? Did you understand what I said? I said a lot of times it stinks. It actually stinks. Now why? That's because the water comes into this pool, looks like a lake, but it's a small lake, you might call it. Water comes into it, and it sits there, and it sits there, and it stinks after a while. And I'm not going to talk about stinky Christians, because there again, I won't be invited back here. But you know, we get all this wonderful teaching, we get all of this wonderful lessons from the Word of God, and we keep it to ourselves. You and I have been called of God to witness. That means to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, nobody's knocking on our doors anymore, because you know the group that comes to our door and they knock on the door and they talk about Jehovah. And it's their own thinking. It's not a biblical teaching. But they're not knocking anymore. But when the pandemic over, they'll be knocking again. How about those two nice looking young men with white shorts, a white shirt, with short sleeves, with a little badge here saying elder? They're not knocking anymore either, but they will be. Why aren't we knocking? Why aren't we visiting? That's what I feel God would call me to speak on today. Let's just get this to move. Okay, let's just see what's going on here. You're sharing your screen. That looks good. Breaking news. Breaking news. Now, you know, on my devices, I have different apps. And one of my apps is under news. And I look at the CTV news every day now. I never used to. I was over 70 years old before I did it. It's only been a lot. So I would have CTV News, BBC News, CNN News, NBC News, Fox News. And just the other day, breaking news. Well, what do you think it was about? You're right. Pandemic. And that's all we get. COVID-19 pandemic. It's taking a terrible toll on the world's economical situations. Do you realize that 7,762,544 day before yesterday cases in the world? 7 million. There's been 2,014,771 deaths. That's the news. But now we've got people coming around us and saying, well, Ron, forget it. It's a lie. Have you seen it? You haven't? I've seen it. It's a lie, they say. And up by where I live, the Central Park, there's a place where you go in to get checked. And everybody's got their mask on. And this is what it says. COVID-19 is a hoax. Have you seen it? I've seen it over and over. And it's on the news all the time. Is it a hoax? But you know, there's a pandemic worse than COVID-19. And it's affecting way more people than 7,771,444. And that is called sin. But you know, I have so many people that I talk to, they say, humbug. Nobody knows where that comes from, do you? Humbug. Remember Scrooge, the morning meeting? Yeah, Scrooge. He said humbug. That was one of his things. They say, Ron, sin doesn't exist. They say sin is a hoax. That's what they're saying. Just like a lot of people are dying, over 221,000 people have died in the world, and people are saying it's a hoax. Now, I'm not going to get into politics. I'm just going to get on the reality of what the Bible says about sin, because a lot of my friends say, no, Ron, it's a figure of your imagination. It's what the church puts on you, and they go on and on and on. But you know, sin is a terrible virus. It affects over 5 million people in this world who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's a disease that are killing people that are not going to eternity because of the sin, the virus of sin. And there's a vaccine. That's what's so silly. There's a vaccine. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is our vaccine. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ like these three beautiful Christians, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we take that vaccine, the blood of Christ that was shed for you and I on the cross of Calvary, so we can be saved, born again, regenerated, so we can be baptized. And that was a wonderful chat, talk, preach, teaching on baptism. It was so biblical. Sin is a terrible virus. But thank God he gave us a vaccine. Now, a lot of people don't know the vaccine is Jesus Christ. That's where you, all of us come into it. We've had the vaccine. And if you haven't had the vaccine, as he said, if you're not saved, you can be saved this morning. Yes. After we'll do it together. We'll sit down here with our mask on. We'll be 2 meters apart. And I would love to show you in the Bible that the biblical concept of the virus of sin can be overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a terrible, terrible disease. God's cure for our faith, our sin disease. It's a disease. But God has provided a cure. Since we as Christians have the cure, why aren't we doing more to evangelize? Yes, as I said this morning, you might be spit upon. You might be laughed at. You might be persecuted. You might be marginalized. You might, but it's worth it because that's what Christ told us to do. And if you want to be a happy Christian, if you want to be joyful as a Christian, you've got to be obedient. Just like if you're not baptized, talk to the elders here. Talk to those in responsibility here and say, look, I don't understand it all, but you know, that preacher up there that was getting all excited that kept looking behind him because he's going to fall into the water, that fella said, I should talk to you. Do it, please. Because it's an obedience to the word of God. That's what the word of God says. I wanted to get baptized. I got saved when I was 10 years old. When I was 16 years old, I wanted to get baptized. And my parents, my second father, fourth mother, wouldn't let me get baptized. I had to wait till I was 19. But when I was 19, I was baptized in water. Even though I was Christian, but I couldn't get baptized because people responsible for me wouldn't allow me to. But you don't have an excuse. You might get your hair wet or your makeup might run, but it doesn't matter. Do it. And you're going to come out of that water and you're just going to be praising the Lord. I've seen baptism all over the world. And I see the faces of these three people coming out, just the satisfaction that they were obedient to the word of God. God has given us a cure, and we should take that cure for ourselves. Evangelism, evangelization. You know, we're going to look at this chapter together, and we're going to see that Paul and Silas were able to be effective evangelists, even though they were in prison, even though they had persecution, even though they were whipped, even though they were put into to special things for their feet and their hands. We're going to look at the life of Paul and Silas, and you're going to sit back and say, well, boy, that won't happen to me. No, it won't happen to you. Look at all those people knocking on your doors. Not anymore, but they're going to be coming back. How about those people who stand on the sky train with that display and they're giving out all that literature? They're not being persecuted. But we're going to look at the life of Paul and Silas, and we're going to realize that in spite of hostility, there's hope for the world. We have the hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. And people out there are dying in this pandemic of sin. And you have the answer. How can you sit back? Now, today, people are talking about boomers. See, I'm a boomer. I know I don't look like a boomer, but I'm a boomer. I'm a boomer. They talk about Generation X, and they talk about millennials, and they talk about Generation Z. And I spent a conference 2 weeks ago for 3 hours, I was on the Zoom meeting learning about these. And they're trying to tell us all these different things about evangelism. But you know what 2 Timothy 4:2 says? Preach the word. That's it. That's it. That's all you have to do. Preach the word. And you can reach boomers. You can reach Generation X. The word is powerful, sharper. You don't have to take a course for 3 hours on Zoom like I did 2 weeks ago. It was interesting. I learned a lot about these different generations. But if we're obedient to the word of God, it says, preach the word. Punto. That's it. But we're not doing it. We're not doing it. But we can reach all these different age groups by one message. And that's in the word of God. And we have the word of God. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We've got the word of God. We've got it in English, French, Spanish, Italian. We've got it in all the languages. We've got tracts. We've got New Testament. We've got Gospels of John. We've got everything. You know what I'm going to be telling you 2 or 3 times? I know Gary's going to get after me. I'd like to see you clean out that back display there. I'll tell you why later on. I think we should get the deacons to refurbish it with more tracts. I think we should go back there on our way out and grab a whole bunch of tracts and say, I'm going to give these out. Next time I have a Starbucks, it's just going to sort of fall on the table there, and I'm going to walk out. Oh, you forgot the Gospel of John. Humbleton, you're getting all that stuff from Amazon? Those guys coming to your door? Ding dong, Amazon, Gospel of John. They'll take it. They take it every time from me. Only once did I find it on a rock outside. I have a big rock outside of my house that was sitting there about an hour later, so I guess he didn't want it, but that's okay. We can reach these people, and we don't need to take a special 2-3-4-hour course on it. Share the gospel. Share the gospel in the midst of crisis. Can it be done? Now, that's some people are using the virus as an excuse, but I'm going to show you a few things. Notice what our passage says. On the Sabbath, now how can we evangelize? What can you do? What can I do? Now, I used to do between McDonald Street, not this McDonald, another McDonald's in Burnaby, and the Grandview Highway, and East 29, and Windermere. There's about 1,800 homes there. I used to do that every 2 years. Now I can't go up and down the stairs. I go up a flight of stairs, and I'm all out of breath. But you're younger. A lot of younger people here. You can still do it. We used to hang them on the doorknob. We used to put them in the slot. We even knocked on the door sometimes. There are some of those things you can't do, but we're going to talk about that. But what can you do? What can I do? What can we who are elderly? Or what can we do that are seniors? What can we do? Well, there's something for all of us to do. The Bible here, and we're looking at Acts 16, we find here that in the Bible, Paul emphasizes we're on the way to a Jewish place to pray. Pray. You and I can pray. Prayer is so important. Prayer is one of the best way to evangelize. You and I, talking to seniors, a little bit of respect, please, you're younger. I'm a senior, so it's Mr. Edgecombe. No, I'm only kidding. I'm Superman, aren't I? Yeah, he likes Superman, yeah. Jesus is my superhero. Yeah. Oh, where was I? Yeah. Anyway, Acts 16:60. One day as we were going to a place of prayer, Acts 16:25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Prayer. In chapter 16, we find that evangelism starts with prayer. And that's what God wants you and I to do, pray. And if you can't walk those stairs like I can't anymore, and I can get on my bike and ride on flat ground for 50 kilometers, but I can't go up a hill. And when I walk up that hill, I have to sit down on the top. But I can pray. I can pray for you young people. I can pray for you young people. And that's only one way. We've got lots of ways to show you later on how to evangelize. And you don't have to be a loudmouth like I am. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. People say that about me, but I'm not supposed to say about myself. But you know what I mean. You're with me on this, aren't you? So let's get with it. Let's get out and let's pray. You know, I think of this wonderful story here. You know, Jesus, Paul and Silas going from one place to another, and they met this girl, and she needed some help. And we learned that they were going to a place of prayer, and they met this girl. Okay? You know the story. She was demon-possessed, and she recognized Paul and Silas's ministry. And she yelled out over and over again, these men went talking about the Most High God. And Paul and Silas told her to be quiet because she was trying to take the people away from the missionary gospel to another god. And so they were upset. And the person who was making money off of this woman, they were upset. So everybody was upset. But Paul and Silas stopped to talk to that girl. Now, are we stopping to talk to people? When we're walking down the street, hi, how are you? Yes, no, I don't have any money. I only have Visa ChargeX card, but I have this tract. Would you like this, sir? Would you like this? God loves you. I wish I could help you, but I really don't. I don't have any money. Look, Look, my pocket. No, but God loves you. Sometimes they've said to me, go to the machine and take out money for them. But anyway, you get the idea. Are you with me? They have said that, honestly. There's a machine over there. But are you with me? We've got to take every occasion. This woman needed the real Jesus. She really needed the Son of God. So Paul and Silas stops and talks to her. And we have to take time. We have to pray for people, but we also have to go. You're going to come. How do we go? We're going to talk about that. But these people were walking along. They didn't have to have masks at that time, but we have to have masks on. But we can still talk to people. We can still tell them about Jesus. You know, James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has got great power and produces wonderful results. Matthew 10:19. When you are arrested, don't worry about what to respond or what you'll say. God will give you the right words at the right time. Dear friends, we are to confess our sin, but we are to pray. Earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. And if you pray for that young people who's going from door to door, if you're praying for that missionary that is out there in Africa or out there in India or out there in Argentina or Chile, Bolivia, if we pray for those people, they are doing the evangelizing, but you are doing a part of the chain. Where, and it says here, look at what it says God plants a seed, see, of faith in our hearts. So all we have to do is water it with prayer, fertilize it with the words of God, and cultivate it with love. You like that? Take a picture of it. I'm glad to see some of you guys. Take a picture. That's worth taking a picture of. Not me. If you want to, let me. This side is my better side. No. Take the picture of that. Anyway, this is what it's all about. God plants the seed. We are to tell them about it. Then we can't do anything else. But we are called. We are called to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other. I pray for 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel at least once or twice a week. I won't exaggerate. Not every day. I hope you pray for me. I think you do, because God has been very good to us over the years. Now, go during the pandemic? Go into all the world, and we can't go. I can't even get a plane trip to Argentina. I want to go to Argentina to evangelize there for 3 months like I've done for the last 23 years, and I cannot get an airplane, so I can't go. But I can pray. I can do other things we're going to hear about. There is so many possibilities of evangelizing now. But we have to go. Not just pray, we have to go also. And there's different ways you and I can go. And that is so important. Well, the first step of evangelism is prayer. We mustn't forget the second, that we are to go. We have to put legs to our faith. We are put to show our faith by working. We aren't saved by works, but we are saved for good works. Are you with me? I can't be saved because I evangelize. I evangelize because I'm saved. And I have a compassion for those who are lost. I have a compassion for those who are dying in sin, that have been the sin pandemic. I'm praying for them. But I have to go to also in some way, form, or shape. And we're going to see some of them as we go on. Now, you know, it's interesting, evangelism. I've spoken on evangelism hundreds of times all over the world. But you know, there's no books on evangelism anymore, like apart from the Bible. I've really never spoken on evangelism in the last year because there's no books on it. How to evangelize? Well, we don't know how. How can we evangelize? We're in a pandemic. These are different things that I've used in the past. What is the biblical way to evangelize? Evangelizing 101. How do we evangelize it during the pandemic 101? These are different five ways church history can help you evangelize. Learn how to evangelize the lost. Three ways to evangelize like Jesus. We can't put our arm around a kid anymore and get down. If I get down, I might not get up. And put your arm around the kid like we used to do years ago. Say, God loves you. Let me tell you a story about Jesus. You can't do that anymore, especially during the pandemic. So how can we evangelize? Do we just sit back and say, well, after the pandemic, I'll go out on the streets and evangelize? No, no. How to evangelize online? I am so excited. You know, I go to two or three, and I certainly thank, who sends the email out? Who sends the email out about the getting on Zoom? Thank you. You do?
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't come every Sunday because I'm at other meetings, but online, what a blessing. There's a lot of good evangelical Bible-believing assemblies out there that have online. You can listen to them. I listen to one at 3 o'clock. I have to quit before 3 because I got to get home. I have a meeting in Argentina. In Argentina, Quebec, Africa, India, China. You can get on with the internet and you get built up in your holy faith online. And look at all that you have here at 16th. I read what you send. Don't worry. And I sent you an email last week. Just thank you. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of the evangelical meeting on Thursday, right? I wasn't paid to say that. That wasn't an advertisement. That's a free advertisement. But you know what I mean? You can invite your friend and say, look at it. Now, when we read this story in Acts 16, we read about Timothy, Lydia, her household, the slave girl, her masters, the city officials, the jailers, and the whole household of the jail. All of those people heard the gospel in one way or another in that one chapter 16. That's exciting. When you get home, read the chapter. They were all affected. And we can affect people online. You could reach all those people, go to Google, put down Timothy, and send an evangelical message to Timothy. Well, you might go to a million Timothy, but you know what I'm saying. I am so blessed by emails. I get too many probably sometime, but most of them are a blessing to me. A message, a verse, so many. Go on a walk. Every Wednesday, I walk around Cascades Church Assembly. I walk back and forth. I have a little three-legged umbrella seat that I put down. I sit down with a group of five or six people with our masks on, and we pray for that house. We pray for that house. All those new houses in our area, we pray for them. We pray for that store. You know the other day what happened? We're walking along there praying. And person, what do you do? We said, we're praying for the neighborhood. Oh, thank you. Use technology to make social contact. Invite your friends to your virtual small cell group. Share testimonies on Facebook, Instagram, and to some of your friends and neighbors. There's so many. You can learn. If an old guy like I can learn, you can learn. And if you can't learn, phone up somebody like our brother here, our brother back there that know probably way more than I do. What does the Word of God say? Well, that's the most important. Says what the Word of God. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. So that we can comfort others. That's why we're comforted. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. Share the comfort. I'm telling you, I am so blessed. And look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we as Christian ambassadors, God is making his appeal through us. Through us. God has chosen you and us. He could call 1,000 angels, bah, and evangelize the world. Just bah, like that. But he's chosen you and I. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. When I meet people from other churches, and I won't mention them, and they'll say, well, you're Protestant and we're so-and-so. You're just trying to win us to Protestantism. Garbage. That is not true. I've never tried to convert somebody from Protestant to from this church to that church. I tell them about Jesus. When I was in the Belle Province in Quebec, I gave out 250,000 New Testaments. Why? Because I went to the bishops of each city and I said, look, I don't want to evangelize and get people out of the Catholic Church. The Holy Spirit can do that much better than I can. Amen? He's much better than I am. My job is to evangelize, to tell them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And 99% of the time, they come out on their own by the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So I hope I'm not out of line saying that. But I have had success in my ministry in these countries that are, their main religion is something apart from Protestantism, because I just preached Christ and Christ crucified. Be sanctified. Be sanctified. But sanctify the Lord God as your in your heart. And always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meek and fear. You know, Paul and Silas, they had a rough time. And you're going to have problems. I'm telling you right now, if you start evangelizing, you're going to have problems. You might lose a friend or two, but you're going to gain way more. How many homes I've knocked on and said, hey, you know, God loves it. Yeah, I know. I go to Willington Mennonite Church. So you know Jesus? Yeah, God bless you. And a hug. Not now. We don't do that now. But you understand what I'm saying? You talk to somebody else and they tell you where to go. See, Paul and Silas, they had problems. See, once the owner of this slave girl could no longer predict the future and therefore their hope of making money was gone, they had Paul and Silas put into prison. But Paul and Silas witnessed to that girl. And that girl came out of that situation, but Paul and Silas were put into prison. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be put into prison, but I am going to say, and you might not be whipped like Paul and Silas, but you know the exciting thing about it is you're doing what God told you to do. Even though, remember, the first point was to pray. The second point is to go. The third point is you might run into problems. Don't worry about it. God's with you. God's on the throne. He's in control. There's going to be problems after problems after problems. But with Christ, you can go through those problems. I can remember walking hand in hand with a 6'8" African in Goma, Zaire. And all he had was a pair of shorts on. And we're walking hand in hand going through the refugee camps in Goma, Zaire, and telling him about Jesus. And seeing these people coming to know Jesus in a real personal way. Sure, we had problems. Sure, we could have been put into prison. Another time I can remember, we were stopped by the police and we were sent to the local police office. And my friend said, you stay outside and hide behind that tree there. This is a true story. Hide behind that tree. And if I don't come out in an hour, call the cavalry. That means to go to the embassy and tell him to come in and help him. Well, he did come out. He wanted $10,000, but we didn't have it. But when we left that country, we were going out in the plane, a MAF, missionary aviation plane, going out like that. There was a Jeep, like you see in movies, behind us, trying to stop us. So you're going to have problems, but we are called to witness. And God's with us. But what did they do? They prayed and they sang. They must have been nuts. Can you imagine in that condition, praising God, Acts 16:11, amongst the pain, they broke out in prayer and sing that God invited them into this wonderful opportunity. That's true Christianity. That's true Christianity. Time is going. And we know the story. God came through as he always comes through. God came through. They were released and they accepted the Lord. Yes, exciting time. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel good news to the whole creatures. God has called you to do that. God has called me. Always be full of joy of the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And you can rejoice. I haven't got time to go into all the situation. I'm going to give you a couple examples later on. But when God asks you to serve, he helps you. Even there is personal sacrifice. And there can be certain personal sacrifice. Let me just give you a couple of quick examples. The other day I was in my backyard and I noticed down the end of the lane, Eastern Indian fellow with an Oriental fellow building a fence. So I went down there. I said, hi, how are you fellas? Now, these people are in my neighborhood and I've wanted to evangelize them for years. But you know, in our laneway, the car comes down. You know this car coming down because the garage door opens. They come down, they go in the garage door. And there's no way to get to your neighbors in my neighborhood. They're doing the fence. So I, with the mask on, I go and I say to them, hi, how you doing? Well, what? Oh, you dig? I have a hole digger, you know, to make posts, to put holes in the ground. You want it? Oh, you have one? Yeah. So I walked home, which is only five houses away. I'll show you how it works. So I sat there for 2 hours digging holes for them. I had a chance to open. Now, I didn't witness to them. It was the first time I've talked to these guys. I've tried for years to get to them. But the pandemic, people are open. And as we're working there, a car comes around. And I notice a guy in the car who lives down there. He's Portuguese. So I say to him, bom dia, bom dia. And he stops. I've tried to witness to him over and over and over again. And this is just in the last couple of weeks. So we changed names, and he's from Brazil. I served the Lord. You get what I'm setting down? I mean, God is so wonderful, so wonderful. So there's three people there that I was able to witness to in the last 3 weeks. How about this one? I wanted a mask like this with the map of Argentina on it. Avisio. I hear the girl downstairs behind me makes masks. So I put on one of my cheap ones. Excuse me, deacons. I shouldn't have said that. That's one of yours. Sorry. One of these expensive. Is this Pierre Cardin? Anyway, I said, hi there. I'm looking for a mask. I got this flag. It's just a little flag, 4x6 flag. I said, can you make, she made me one. She came over to the house 3 times at a distance. We've gone over to her house twice, single mother. God is so good. God is opening up doors, but we've got to realize this. The last one, time is gone. My daughter has lived in my house for 15 years. We have a basement suite. Finally, got to watch these real estate people. Oh, sorry, Harold, I forgot that you were there. Yeah, but yeah. You know, these real estate people, they're so expensive. But anyway, she bought a house out in Poco, 3-level townhouse. She left. We prayed, Lord, I need that money every month to come in. Nothing was happening. So of course, I phoned all the churches in the area because my wife says, no Craigslist, no Craigslist. You can't put it on Craigslist. But honey, we got to trust. Don't put it. No. Okay. I always have the last word with my wife. Yes, dear. So anyway, I hope she's not going to listen to this one. So anyway, nothing happened. So I emailed about 15 churches in the greater area. Anybody in your congregation? No. I put it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Nothing happened. Not Craigslist, though. So my son comes over one day with his two workers. He does tiles. And They were going to fix something downstairs because my daughter moved out. So this guy comes in here with him, one of his workers, tattoos all up here, all here, here. And they kept going outside to, is it called vaping? Yeah, he kept going outside vaping. So he's working in my house and he says, oh, you rented this? I said, yeah, you know anybody want to rent it? He says, yeah, me and my girlfriend and my daughter from another one. And we were looking for something. I said, well, it's open. He said, I'll take it. I said, no. You talk to your girlfriend. So he takes his phone out, of course, and he walks through like this. He said, we'll take it. I said, no, you go home. I couldn't say you got to pray about it. I wanted to pray about it. I didn't want to say yes right there. Who is this guy? Sure, he works for my son, but who is he? What's his, you know, if you're a profile people, you know, it's terrible profiling people, and I'm bad at that sometimes, you know, with all those tattoos and, you know. So he left. They came back 2 days later with his girlfriend and his daughter from the other girl. Anyway, yeah, they looked at it. And I said, okay, you go home, phone me for 11:30 if you want it. 11:15, they phone it, we'll take it. I said, well, you know, there's quite a few restrictions. Like what? I said, one thing, you can't smoke in the yard, in the property. Doesn't matter. His house was in the basement suite underneath the ground. And people before there had 5 cats. So you can imagine what it smelled like. You don't get rid of in public, you know, the wee-wee. Yeah, you don't get rid of the cat litter. That's, I guess, I don't know the word. Anyway, he's living there now. Praise God. Why am I so excited? Because his wife is all tattooed here. He's all tattooed there. And he smokes. I'm not saying that. You know, I'm just saying there are 3 people that are going to go to heaven, God willing. I could go on and on and on. But, you know, we've been called of God, you know. We're in a pandemic, and I believe God wants us to evangelize. Now, I'm going to say something now. I should have checked with Eric and Harold before. Now, something I have done for years. I am not telling you to do this. You pray about it. But a lot of my friends, on Halloween night, I hate Halloween. Excuse me, I hate it. I dislike it. I don't agree with it. I preach against it, in a sense, the themes and stuff. But every Halloween, there's about 80 kids come to my house. And I'm there with this. I don't turn my lights off like a lot of my friends do. And I know with the pandemic, it's going to be a different ball game, but I check that I'm allowed to do it, long as it's a closed thing. Anyway, when the kids come on Halloween, I would say, hi there, how are you? God bless you. Bye. Parents all standing outside. I'm hoping that's one way we can evangelize. Again, I don't know what the thing is. Back there, as I said earlier, there's so many good pamphlets. I give out these a lot. There's some of these back there. This is the Bible. You know, when you get a Gideon Bible in the front, there's all the help. They're all on this card. You just scan it. There's New Testaments back there. There's Gospels of John back there. And I don't know. I get these tracts. I mean, that are so good. They're Halloween tracts, believe it or not. Evangelical Halloween tracts. Here it is. A special treat for you. And it's a Halloween tract. A gospel tract. But don't do it if you're not convicted of it. And if you think it's wrong, don't do it. Pray about it. I noticed back there you've got this new tract on this. Absolutely phenomenal. The Unquench Christianity. Yeah. Anyway. Please. Baptism. Lord's Supper. And evangelism. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this time together. We thank you for the importance of evangelizing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the importance of telling men and women, boys and girls, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except by Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, if there's any here this morning that have come to see their friend get baptized and have not part of your family, not part of the family of God, that have never accepted your Son as their substitute on the cross of Calvary, we pray, Lord, that they will stay behind and we will chat at a distance, Heavenly Father, and we would love to show them from Scripture that it says you must be born again. We pray, Heavenly Father, if faith in what your Son did for us on the cross of Calvary. He died for us, and we have had the vaccine for this terrible, terrible pandemic that over 5 billion people haven't accepted the vaccine, Heavenly Father. We pray that everybody in this room might have taken that vaccine and that they have taken the blood of Christ and realized that they can be born again thanks to the vaccine. Lord, we give you our thanks. Thank you for 16th. We just praise you for it. We thank you for these beautiful 3 people that got baptized. We pray that they might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask these things, giving you our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.